7, are you awake and alert? Are you hopeful for what the Lord is going to do this morning? Because the prevailing word will go forth. And it's going to go like that stone that is not cut with human hand in the book of Daniel. So it's going to grow mightily. It's going to fill all the space, the cyberspace, the air space, fill every space where human and life can be found. And it's going to prevail. Mm-hmm. It's not going to pander to human's opinion. Mm-hmm. It's not to any sentiment. So it's going to do what it alone can do. That is executing terrible deeds in righteousness. So this morning, so I want you to brace yourself as we dig into God's word. Yesterday we were on the Lord's Prayer. We were talking and encouraging us not to use somebody else's medication, so that we should not do drug abuse. And if you missed that episode, you can still go back to our page. We have it all stored there. This was a 247 page where you can listen to that, and you might need to listen to it again and again. Because faith comes by what?
By hearing by the word of God.
So there's a need for hearing and hearing and hearing again. So you really need to fill your spirit with words like this. And so you can find some other edifying messages and words of life in that page where you can listen to some of the other things we've been sharing for the past few weeks. And so this morning we're going to continue. Like you, late yesterday we stopped. We did not even have the time to divulge into the Lord's Prayer, to analyze it word by word, test by test. And I think that's what we want to do this morning. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, viewers, thank you again for tuning on to this knockout series on prayer. I mean, you would notice for the past few weeks we've been actually going through all the different aspects of prayer for a Christian in the new covenant, because the Bible says we are not ministers of the old covenant, we are ministers of the new covenant. And then we've gone through prayer, we've gone through faith, unbelief, and how to drive out his unbelief. And then currently at the moment we are investigating the Lord's Prayer. And there's one thing that we said about the Lord's Prayer yesterday as a kind of summary. We said the danger that some Christians do actually expose themselves to when they open the Bible is that we have a tendency to take somebody else's medication. It means that's why the scriptures encourages us to rightly divide the word of truth, so that we don't actually begin to take hook, line, and sinker as a method of prayer what is supposed to be a model or a pattern. And then we came to a conclusion yesterday, and the conclusion was this, that the prayer in Matthew chapter 6, or the one in Luke 11, which is popularly called the Lord's Prayer, is not the prayer point of a Christian, the new covenant. And the conclusion we came to was using John chapter 16, where Jesus said to the disciples, I think verse 23, thereabout, where he said, up till now, you've not prayed in my name. He says, every prayer that has been prayed by anyone, right from the time of Genesis, up till the time that Christ went to the cross, Jesus said, all those prayers were not in his name. It means, and he's actually telling the disciples that in that day, you will pray in my name. And that's the day we are in, the day, when the new covenant was enacted. That's how far we have gone. And please, we encourage you to look for our yesterday's transmission that we call drug abuse. So today, we're going to progress from that point. Now, quickly, I want us to join us as we actually begin to look into the word of life and see what the Lord has to say to us today as people who believe in the power and the potency of prayer. Now, quickly, Luke 11, if you look at verse from verse 2, which is where we have, don't forget that we said yesterday that this verse 2 was the response of Christ to somebody that asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Say, hey, Jesus, give them the model. Again, I want to call your attention to the fact that Jesus was giving his model to people who were under the old covenant. All the disciples in Luke 11 were under the old covenant. Nobody ever entered into the new covenant until they became partaker of the shed blood of Jesus, because Matthew 26, 28 says, this is the new covenant in my blood. Until the blood was shed, the new covenant was not enforced. So it means Jesus was giving this prayer model to people who were not under the new covenant. Let's take note of that. Let's not forget that. So let's begin to go from verse 2. And now what does it say, please? Luke 11, verse 2.
And he said unto them.
And he said unto them.
When you pray.
Yes.
Say. Our Father.
Now, our Father. That's the point. Now, the very first thing Jesus presented to them, he said, well, if you're going to pray at all, if you want to come to the place of prayer, well, let's get it straight. Our Father. Let's get that straight. Unless we get that straight, we have no business talking about prayer at all. I know people try to approach prayer from different angles. Some people approach prayer from saying, my warrior. In fact, I know it's not. There's nothing bad in saying God is a man of war and God is the God who actually holds the sword in his hand to destroy the enemies. Well, that's not wrong. That's what he is. The Bible says the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. We're not disputing that fact. But it would seem And that Jesus is simply saying, well, if you want me to teach you to pray, let us settle this first, our Father. If we can settle that, we can talk about other things, about prayer. But let's talk about this. This is the foundation. This is the first principles. It says our Father. And then I want you to take note of this. This is not the very first time that God is called a Father. Because I think it would be completely erroneous for somebody to conclude that until the new covenant started, God wasn't a Father. That's not true, because of course, if you go back to the Old Testament, even right in Exodus, right, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, there was a place where the Lord said that Israel is my firstborn son. God actually adopted Israel and said Israel was my son. So God being a father is well known in the Old Testament, but that's not the issue. But the issue is in for you in the New Covenant. When I say our Father, or when people pray today and they say our Father today in the church, people have different kind of perceptions about when they say our Father. Of course, some people think when you say our Father, we're talking about the person that provides for me or the person that cares for me. That's true. A father is meant to what? Deliver. A father is meant to provide. He's meant to care for you. At least when we say our Father and we go to our knees to pray our Father, we have different pictures that goes on in our mind. What does Christ have in mind to you as a Christian in the new covenant? If it is true that prayer must always start from this standpoint, what is it to say? What is our Father? What does that mean to you? What is it? What is the significance of this to you in the place of prayer? How does this affect the efficacy or the effectiveness of your prayer life? What revelation do you have of this particular first statement of Christ when talking about prayer? Don't forget, as it concerns you in the new covenant. Okay, that's what we're looking at today. So for us quickly, as we begin to look at Hebrews chapter 12, when you say our Father, in what concept, on what basis is God your Father? And again, this is not a title you can shove aside, because the very first thing that Christ focused on when he was up in Acts to teach them to pray. It means if we don't get this right, we have no business in the place of prayer. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and see what the scripture has to teach the new covenant Christian about this fatherhood of God. Now look at Hebrews chapter 12. You can read from verse 8, please. Hebrews 12, verse 8.
Verse 8.
Yes, please.
But if ye be without chastisement,
yeah, okay, go on.
Wherefore all are partakers,
okay,
then are ye bastards.
You're bastards.
And not sons.
Okay, go on, please.
Furthermore, we have had fathers.
Now watch that word. Furthermore, he said, we have had fathers. He says, before you ever came to call God your father, you've had a father before. I mean, of course, it's practically impossible for us to have somebody. It doesn't matter whether their father is alive or dead. At least you must have had a father, except for people who were born by some kind of scientific innovation where they even use somebody's seed, a man's seed, to give birth to a child. But even as at that, they had to use a seed of a man. There's always a father. It doesn't matter whether it's a man who was who physically had to give birth to a child, or they had to use the man's seed to give birth to a child. There has to be what? A father. So the Apostle Paul says all of us actually had what? Fathers. So before you ever call God a father, we all had a father. So it's going to give us a context so that we can understand this starting point of our Lord's Prayer. What does he say there, please?
Furthermore, we have had fathers.
He said, we have had fathers.
Of our flesh.
Of our flesh. Oh, now please, begin to take note of this. Begin to take note of this word. Paul is saying, we have had fathers of our flesh. Oh, he's making a very radical statement. He said, whatever father you had, he said, all of us, the fathers we had up to this time, he said, they are fathers of our flesh. He's making a big distinction. And this is the reason. Does that not tell you the reason why then? If they want to know who is the true father of a child, all they have to do is make recourse to the flesh. And at times people use the hair, or they can decide to do a DNA test. They can use the cells in the body of the child, or they can pick any part of the child's flesh. I repeat the word flesh. So Paul said, we have fathers of our flesh. That's why doctors or those who do DNA tests have to make a recourse to our flesh to identify who is the true what? Father. Because the father is the father of our flesh. Can you see that? So the Apostle Paul is making a radical presentation to the child of God in the new covenant to understand the fatherhood of God. So now go on, please.
Which corrected us.
Okay.
And we gave them reference.
They corrected us and we gave them reference. Okay, go on, please.
Shall we not much rather be in subjection,
okay,
unto the Father of spirits?
Ah, now watch this and leave. Now watch this. Okay, now we're getting a radical presentation of this. He says to you and I, he says, your father, the one who gave birth to you, he says, he is the father of your flesh. So the only way we can identify who your true father is, your natural father, is to look into your what? Your flesh. But the Apostle Paul then said, in contrast, in the Holy Ghost, Father, which is God the Father, who is your father, is not the father of your flesh. Now, this is what we need to come to understand when it comes to that starting point of Luke 12, when Jesus said, our Father. So it means the Father Christ was referring to, which is the God of glory, the Father of our Lord Jesus, he is not the father of your flesh. He didn't give birth to your flesh. If somebody says, God is my Father, you're simply saying that he's the Father of what? Your spirit. The scripture is now telling us that you have a newborn spirit. You have a born-again spirit. You have a new life in you. And that spirit life that is in you, the Father of that spirit life, is the Lord God. So we have, it means, I would expect every person, every human, to have two fathers. There's the father of your flesh, and there's the father of your spirit. And that's what he tells us here. So he says that when we say father, what revelation should come to your mind as a Christian is the father of your spirit. Now, how is that important to you as a Christian? How is that critical? It means then the only way we can detect if you are the true son of this father we are talking about today is for us to look into your what? Into your spirit. Can you see? How do we know your natural father is your father? We look into your flesh. How do we know the God of glory, the Father of light, is your father? We don't look into your flesh. We look into your what? Into your spirit. He is the father of your spirit. And here we are beginning to come down to the point when you say our father. Now, the reason we are talking about this today is how do we pray? So when I say my father in the place of prayer, I'm not talking to the father of my flesh. I'm talking to the father of my what? Of my spirit. Because that's why if you want to find out if I'm the true this true son of my father, please don't check my flesh. Don't check my flesh. You check my spirit. Now, when I say true son of my I'm talking about my heavenly father. Can you see? Now, this is the whole point. Some Christians, they try to check their flesh. Can you see? To identify themselves with the heavenly father. You cannot do that. Of course, you can check your flesh to identify yourself with your natural father. You cannot check your flesh to identify yourself with your heavenly father. You have to check your spirit. He didn't give birth to your flesh. He only gave birth to your spirit. He's the father of spirit. So if you want to do a DNA test to know whether you are the true son of your heavenly father, please check your spirit for the DNA. Don't check your flesh. If you check your flesh, you only find your natural father's DNA. And this is the distinction that Apostle Paul gives to the believer. And why is this important in the place of prayer? Well, follow us through. You will soon find out quickly. Now, that's what we see. Now, quickly, let's go to John chapter 4. We're laying a foundation. We're laying a foundation. You see, this is now John chapter 4, verse 23. The true test of your father is not in your heavenly father. It's not in your flesh. It's in your spirit. Look at John chapter 4, verse 23, please. Can you read, please?
But the hour cometh.
The hour comes.
And now is.
Now, Jesus is saying there's a dispensation that's going to come. You said yesterday, when he says in that day, they will no more pray. Jesus said, the day is coming when you will pray in my name. So he comes again and says, well, a time is coming very soon. And this hour you're going to know the radical change in time. What is he saying?
And now he is. When the true worshippers shall worship the Father.
Yes.
In spirit and in truth.
Okay.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Go on, please.
Verse 24.
Yes, please.
God is a spirit.
Now, God is a spirit. Now, again, now we understand the reason why it says the Father is spirit. Can you see? Because you can only give birth to something that is in your same nature. I mean, I would expect monkeys to give birth to monkeys. And I would expect dogs to give birth to dogs. And you would expect the spirit to battle what? A spirit. That's why you understand where he's called the Father of spirit. The Bible says in John 4, 24, he is spirit as well. So he can only give birth to spirit. Now that's it. Now he says God is spirit. Now go on, please.
And they that worship him.
They that will worship him. Now please, if you want to understand this full context of the word worship, I would invite you to look for our last two transmissions, which is what we call the pagan Christianity and the gods are not to blame. We did actually expatiate on the word worship and serve. We don't want to go fully into that now. Now, he said that they that will worship him, they that will relate with him, must do what?
Worship him
in what?
Spirit.
Okay.
And in truth.
So here we come again. He says, God is spirit. If you want to relate with him, if you want to understand what he's talking about. Now, this is where some Christians get confused about prayer, in the place of prayer. The Bible is saying, if you ever intend to relate with what God is saying to you, if you ever intend to understand God's terminology, if you ever intend to understand God's vocabulary, well, of course, sorry to say, you will not get it in your flesh, because he's not the father of your flesh. He's the father of your spirit. So when he's talking to your spirit. Now, this is where you have to then come to grasp with the scriptures. For example, when the Bible says to you that you are holy and you are blameless, that you are God's righteousness in Christ Jesus, because God is spirit, he cannot be talking to your flesh. He's talking to what? To your spirit. When he says you are a new creation, look at the word, new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, with God is spirit, and if you're going to relate with God at all, you have to understand he's not addressing your flesh. God never addresses your flesh. God addresses your spirit. Now, what am I talking about today? How then does it apply to the fact that the Bible talks about our soul, our mind, and our body? Have you noticed in the Bible, like Romans chapter 12, if you check the scriptures, it says, you present what? Your bodies, you. It says, I will speak to your spirit, then you, your spirit then talks. So you are the one that addresses your mind. You address your soul. You address your intention, your will, your emotion. You address your body. I will only address your spirit, because I'm the father of spirit. If you want to know, that's the reason why, if you want to know who is your father, you do a DNA test on the very part of you that corresponds with your father. That's why, if you want to know who is your father in the natural, you take something out of your flesh. If you want to know who is your father in the spirit, you take something out of your spirit. He is the father of spirit. You can never get it in your flesh what your heavenly father is. And this is the confusion that actually comes to many Christians. Now, somebody was asking a question some weeks ago on one of our transmissions. And the person asked a question and said, what kind of posture should I take in the place of prayer? Should I kneel down? Should I stand up? Or should I walk around? And I said, well, sorry to say this, God is not the father of the flesh. He's the father of spirit. It would mean that he says, if you want to relate with me, you're going to do that in spirit and in truth. It means, sorry to say, you are the one that's meant to take the authority or the grace of God in your spirit over your mind and over your body. That's your business. Romans chapter 12 is not God's business. God only speaks to your spirit. Now, the reason we're talking about this today is to give you, the listener, the platform or something I call the weapon to walk with in victory in the place of prayer. Because if you're going to pray at all, Luke 12 invites you to start from the standpoint of our Father. And then when we say our Father, like I said, people have different pictures of our Father. The real picture of our Father is what we are representing today from the scriptures. That's why there are some things that you read about you and you read about your destiny in the Bible. Some of these things will never make any sense to you unless you understand that the God that you serve is the Father of Spirit. So when he speaks to your spirit. And that's why he tells you that you have the mind of Christ. And as it tells you, you have the unction of the Holy One in you and you know all things. That's why he tells you that you were healed by the stripes of what? Jesus. He's not talking to your flesh. He's talking to your spirit, because it's the Father of spirit. And if he talks to your spirit and you try to process what he said with your flesh, you will find a contradiction in the place of prayer. You will find a confusion in the place of prayer. So here we see this today, that the Bible says, if you're going to relate with God. Now, have you noticed one statement there, which I want to call to your attention? It says, they that must. he didn't say that they that may. He didn't say they that might. He says, well, if you must worship at all, if you must relate with him at all, I encourage you, please, don't ever do it, except you are going to understand his language, which means you have to come to him in the spirit. Now, we're still going to come to this very soon. We'll begin to understand by the scriptures what it really means to connect with him in the spirit. But we have simply laid one fact and one foundation today, and that it is God is the Father of your spirit. So if you are born again, if you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, you have a new spirit. And may I say this to you, the Father of that spirit is the Heavenly Father. And when he speaks, he only speaks to your spirit. So that's what we have laid the foundation on. So it means, if you want to know if God is your true Father, please check your spirit. Don't check your flesh, because your flesh will not give you the truth. Now, we're going to look at it very soon. How do you check your what? Your spirit. How do you discover? How do you double check your DNA to get the true nature of your Father? So that when you are praying our Father, you know what you're talking about. When you're praying our Father, your spirit man is able to connect to what you are saying. And that's what we've laid the foundation today.
It's good that you mentioned this, to understand how the Father relates, and because some people really don't know the difference between saying you are holy and being holy. So okay. There's really been a lot of theological tussle in the kingdom, why people really don't understand the relationship and the operations of the Father. You know that it's walks and talking. We're operating with your spirit, and the responsibility of bringing what is into your spirit into your body is with you. And so, and there's no disconnect like that. That people really, it's good that you mention it, and I hope our viewers were able to pay attention to that, to understand that the Father in the Spirit and what He says in the Spirit, and
He talks to your spirit. He's not talking to your body.
He does not talk to your body. So you have the responsibility to make what is in your spirit materialize into your mind and to your body. So when He calls you, you are holy. Because He said you are holy, then they fold their hands. There's nothing more they need to do on their body than so. So they don't know how to reconcile the scriptures that tells you that you will submit yourself to the Lord and so present your bodies as a living sacrifice. They feel like
so
just
you present
them.
Your body.
So they feel like this one is off them. They just run off with one. And if you have listened to some of our previous episodes, you say you cannot run off with the word. You need again and again word, just like Jesus said, to balance it. So it is, we say you are holy. That is said to your spirit, and that is who you are, and that is what you are. But you need to present your body and make sure that those things that get to your mind. They see the be ye holy gets materialized in your mind, it gets materialized in your body, and that is your responsibility. And that is why it's not said I'm going to present your body for you. It said present your body. So it is your responsibility. So it's good for us to know these operations and know how our Father deals with us and how it works for us to understand this, because some people are really, really confused with this. And I hope that there is clarity this morning.
Amen. Thank you for that insight. For some people, they say, well, some people, even when they come to the place of prayer, so people can say, well, I don't even know what, God, are you truly my Father? God, are you truly here for me? I don't know what's happening. Are you really caring for me? Well, people that ask such questions, there's nothing wrong with asking those questions, but it's important how you answer those questions, because the way you answer those questions will actually determine if you understand the thing we're sharing today. We're talking about true paternity test. How do you test your fatherhood? Well, you have to look at the part of you that God gave birth to. That's the reason why, like we said, if you want to know you a true father is in the flesh, you're a natural father, you look at your flesh, doctors speak your flesh. Now, quickly, let's go quickly.
Before you go there, I just want to say we cannot separate fatherhood and prayer.
We can. That was the starting point. Jesus said.
Apart from that being the starting point, we remember the place when Jesus was talking and admonishing the people and was telling to see how fatherhood and request, how they come together, why you cannot really say, some might say, though, this is, I don't care about whether fatherhood, I'm just going to pray anyway, without clarifying this. I want to tell you that apart from this, you really need to sit down and feel like, no, there's a way that request and fatherhood goes together. Because I remember Jesus, when he was admonishing them, he was saying, okay, which one of you want to? It rings about father, which one of you that your son will has this? So there's something about request. Making requests and something about fatherhood, we really cannot separate it. So that is why we cannot afford to run into prayer and say the topic we are sharing today about DNA paternity test, who is the father that is just beyond you, or you don't really want to get your mind around it. You really need to, because request is just being, there's so much of association with you pretending request and the fatherhood.
Thank you for that insight. In fact, you've made a very, very serious point there. There's a point where he says in Matthew chapter 6, when he's talking about vain repetition, people that pray vain repetition, he says, your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. It means there'll be so much confusion in the prayer life of a Christian unless that Christian understands the fatherhood nature, the fatherhood of God in their lives. It means there's a connection between a successful prayer life and having the revelation of God's fatherhood. He says, your heavenly Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So that when you are coming to the Father, you have that revelation, and it connects to how you are able to ask the things in the place of prayer and how you can receive answers to prayer. There's a kind of unbreakable connection between those two things. And that's why we are here today.
And I think it may even have to do with about confidence too, because you cannot even come to a place of prayer. He said, believe in them, you know, that you will receive them and you shall have them. So you cannot throw away confidence. Cast not away your confidence and so. And if you cannot establish the paternity, you really have the confidence. Who has the responsibility? for others. So how would you ever come with that kind of confidence? How will you not be able to cast away confidence? How will you be able to come believing that you are going to receive when you don't know who is actually in charge, who is actually responsible, who is in charge of it? So then you're now becoming to come with vain repetitions because you are not even sure whether it's going to, then he's actually responsible for that. So you really need to understand this about fatherhood, so you can know that your prayer life can become fruitful, and then you can come into that, you can have the confidence that the Lord will want you to have when you approach him. He said, come to the throne of grace, you must come boldly. So how would you come boldly when you don't know that the person that is there is for you, you share the DNA research? So really the subject about fatherhood and paternity test that we're talking about this morning is very, very central to our prayer life. We cannot even get anything done without that.
Well, I mean, you've mentioned something that is quite important. You know, by the time a woman has a child and then they want to establish who will be responsible in terms of, you know, paying for the child's upkeep and all that, now they have to establish the paternity to say, well, who really is the father, so as to know who should bear the responsibility of that child. This is how it operates in the realm of the spirit. Now, we didn't make this comparison. The Apostle Paul did in Hebrews chapter 12. The Apostle Paul said, we have our natural fathers of our flesh. He says, so we should also subject ourselves to the father of what? Spirit. So the Apostle Paul says, well, as we are fathers of the flesh, we are father of spirit, the Heavenly Father. And it says, if you can establish your paternity, if you can establish the Father of Spirit, then you can know who to put the responsibility of your life into his hands. And then you're not asking questions about, I mean, you're not confused anymore about who takes charge of your destiny, because you know and you are no beyond a shadow of doubt who the Father is. And when the enemy comes to you to confuse you and to tell you that in this particular condition you are at the moment, you are your own. Or the devil tells you that in this particular situation you are going through, you see, you have to face life on your own. You can tell the devil and say, this is the paternity result. Come, I'll show you the paternity result. I'll show you. This is the paternity test result. And the test result simply says that the same nature of the Father is exactly the same nature of my spirit. And that's it. The Father of my spirit. Everything in my spirit is what is in the Father. We're going to look at this further on today.
When you have really, you can really come, people like in the natural world, you can approach the court of law and say, based on this, you can bring somebody to heart. Based on this is the DNA test, and so you can command, at least you have the power to subject somebody to be responsible.
Even if the person doesn't want to be responsible
at all, if it's a deadbeat dad and those
if
ones
that establish paternity, they have to be responsible for the child.
Power of the, then I want to bring yours back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, that we just read. They say, would you rather not be in subjection and leave? You know, some people are not leaving because they have not even established the fatherhood. Who their father is, they're not just leaving. Some are just existing, or some are dying, or some are dead. Because they don't have the father in their life. They don't have the father. So he was saying about your livelihood to father. Just like the father to protect and provide. So your livelihood and your existence is based on your father. Your father protects, he provides. So you know those fatherhood, even the natural, even Jesus was actually telling them, the natural, the father will even give bread. You know, he will not give somebody stone. He will not this. He protects. And he was saying, we do not do this and leave. So you cannot afford not to get this, your fatherhood, the paternity test right. You cannot afford to live today without establishing who is your father today, because that is, your life is attached to that.
It's a will rather be subject to the Father of Spirit and live.
So your life, so you're living.
Hebrews 12:8-9.
Yes, it's attached to that. You're living. So it's something that's very, very serious. You can't do without this, because unless you don't want to live, would you not subject
really
and
want
live?
To live life.
You don't want to live
life.
Not just
existing.
Not just existing.
I've come to have life and have life more abundantly. I mean, abundant life.
You don't want to die and wither away. And you just want to, someone want to die and be in the process of pining away because they are living the outside the boundary and the revelation of the fatherhood of God. So we would rather not subject yourself to this kind of revelation this morning. Subject yourself to this fatherhood, the paternity, and for you to understand this and live. So we are calling you to live today.
Amen. And the reason why a paternity test is always very critical is because it's important to establish the fatherhood. If there's no contention of establishing fatherhood, you don't need a paternity test. I mean, not many people do paternity test. The only reason why a judge might call for it in court, or reason why people might go for it, is because they want to establish the fatherhood when there's a dispute, when there's a contention. That's why they do that. And then the Bible is trying to tell you as a Christian, in Hebrews 12:8-9, that there's a dispute ongoing. in which the devil, your imagination, your thinking process will try to paint a wrong picture of who the Father is in your life. Have you noticed that the greatest attack of the devil against a Christian is, as it were, is the fact that he tries to, in a way, manipulate or change or attack the picture of the Father that we carry? That's why in Genesis, when he tempted the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, that was the very first thing he said. He said, God knows that the day that you eat of that tree, you will be what? Wise, knowing, being like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. But the key thing is that he says, God knows that the day. He said that, do you think he has your best interest in heart? Do you think God has your best interest in mind? He has other sinister plans for you. So the devil tried to distort the true picture of God to them. And that's why we have a contention ongoing at the moment. There's a battle ongoing at the moment. It's not a battle just to kill you or destroy you. It's not a battle just to, you know, attack you in the dream. The major battle we have on is that the enemy is trying to attack revelation of the fatherhood nature of God. And that's why it is important to establish the paternity through scriptures like this that talks about that God is the Father of your spirit. And we're going to go further into that very soon.
Yes, this episode we are transmitting with today is leading credence to the weight of this matter, because you see all the attacks of the devil and the temptation of the devil right from the first Adam even to now is about the identity crisis. It came to Eve, and this, if really this, if your father who actually has your best interest, it came to Jesus, if you're actually the son of God. And so we cannot actually brush away identity crisis and fatherhood test, paternity test. They are just like the same. You know, they are just a chemistry. They are just the same thing. And that is why we really need to really, really understand what it is, because we have seen in the natural world, we see some people who actually, they find somebody who is playing the father role with them. They see that they have the protection, they have everything, but yet they find that they are not even lacking, but yet they still want to know the true test, the paternity test, because of the identity crisis. So it's not that they have food crisis or they have some other crisis, but the identity of who I am, I don't really care. Sometimes I don't really care that this person is standing up. And I don't feel like everybody look at me as if there is nothing lacking. And so I'm like, what do you need? Do you really need to know? But they know there is a storm in them, the identity storm. So it's beyond even getting provision. It's beyond even getting the protection. And that, okay, maybe somebody is standing up and maybe I can manage. You really, there's a bigger problem. The identity crisis, you really need to know who you really are from. You don't really care. So this is beyond the protection. It's beyond the provision of even request. You really need to solve that. Even if you are not using this for prayer request, because we see the father is attached to the prayer request, but you need the identity, you need to solve the identity crisis. You don't want the devil to come to tempt you like he tempted Adam and Eve with the identity crisis and came to Jesus to say, if you are the son of God, you really need to establish this. Beyond the prayer request, you need to solve the paternity questions over your life and know who is the father here.
Amen. Now, if you are a Christian, and you have given your life to Jesus. Now, of course, I mean, we believe that some people that are listening to this transmission might not even be Christians. But if you're not a Christian, then this is an invitation for you to say, Jesus, I want to release everything to you. I want you to effectively take charge of my life and all that. But and this is the time, this is the best opportunity. It's time to switch fatherhood. You see that? Now, but if you are a Christian, you're born again, let's see. Could we guarantee that God really is the Father of your spirit? That will follow us quickly as we look at 1 Corinthians 6, 17 and see what the scripture has to say. Can you boldly say, can you confidently say these things? What does 1 Corinthians 6, 17 say?
It reads,
now,
but if thou is joined unto the Lord.
Now you can read from verse 16. That will be
verse
better.
16. Yes. What?
Yeah.
Know ye not?
Okay.
That he which is joined to an allot is one body.
Can you see? Joined to an allot is one body, not one spirit, one body.
For two, said he, shall be one flesh.
Okay, go on. Now, next verse, please.
But he that is joined unto the Lord
is
one spirit.
Aha. He said, if anybody is joined to the Lord, is one spirit. The Greek word that was used in this particular verse, it means, it says, one to the exclusion of the other. It's like an emphasis. To say, well, if you ever join to the Lord, if you are saying that you are born again, if you are saying that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, he says your spirit is one with God's spirit. Now, I think we need to spend a bit more time to break this down. He says your spirit is one with God's spirit. This is what he's saying. If we check the DNA of God's spirit, and we check the DNA of your spirit, he says they are, it's exactly the same. Now, he didn't say they are similar. It's exactly the same. He said if you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit with the Lord. It means whatever component is in God's spirit, that's exactly what we'll find in your spirit. That is why if you believe then that God is holy, it means you have to be holy as well. If you are not holy in your spirit, it would mean that this scripture is not true. But we know that the word of God is yea and amen. The Bible says if you are joined to the Lord, you are not half a spirit. You are not three quarters. You are one spirit. So it means all I need to do to check if you are the true son of your father is I will check the DNA of your spirit. It has to match the DNA of God because you are one spirit with the Lord. Every nature of God. That's the reason the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Some Christians think that the fruit of the Spirit is something they have to then perform to show they are Christians. That doesn't make any sense. He's not talking about the fruit of your body. Can you see? He didn't say it's the fruit of your mind. He says it's the fruit of the Spirit. He's saying that this is what is in your spirit. Now, I'm not sure whether we understand the degree and the depth of that statement. When it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering. He's simply trying to tell you that if you will look at your spirit, this is exactly what is in there, not what will be there. It is the fruit of your spirit. It's the product of your spirit. And if you notice, those qualities are exactly the same qualities of God. Because whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's the DNA of God. So the fruit of the Spirit is God's DNA. That's if you want to test if you are truly the son of your father, you cannot look into your mind. Your mind will not tell you. You can't even look to your flesh. Your flesh will not tell you. You cannot even look to your imagination. It wouldn't tell you. All you have to look is look in your spirit. Because if you are joined to the Lord, you're not one flesh with him. Sorry. You're not even one body with the Lord. Sorry. You're not even one mind with the Lord. You are one spirit with the Lord. He's the father of spirit. So it means... Anytime God speaks, he's talking to your spirit. When he says the fruit of the spirit is, he's talking to your spirit. Now, we're going to see very soon, how then can you as a Christian look into this spirit? Because of course, it's something way beyond our mind, our bodies. We're going to look at that very soon. But we are simply saying it is critical today to establish the paternity. And if you're going to establish a paternity, you have to look at that part of you that God says is exactly mine, exactly like me, one spirit. With the Lord. The problem with so many Christians today is we look at the wrong thing to find God. We look in the wrong direction, claiming we are looking for God. We are looking at the wrong place. Looking for God in the wrong place. We are looking for God. Some people are looking for God in their bodies. So when God says you were healed by the stripes of Jesus, you check your body. No, you are checking the wrong place. He's not talking to your body. Now, of course, it will happen in your body. But as we said, in fact, that is not our focus today. Maybe the next few weeks, as the Lord will help us, we'll look into that. Somebody does something to your body, but it's not God. In fact, it's you. And we'll look at that later anyway, in the future transmission, as the Lord helps us. But we are simply saying, when God speaks, he speaks to that part of you that is exactly like him. If you're joined to the Lord, you're not one mind, you're not one body, you're one spirit with the Lord. So confusion starts when God speaks and you are checking somewhere else. You're checking your mind, you're checking your body. You are checking your bank account. You are checking this. And God is speaking, you are checking somewhere else. You've got to check that part of you that God says exactly like me. So that's what that Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17. Now, do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, just know that with the copious examples that we have shared on this transmission, is able to make the result between that divide of sowing when it says something, and is it my body, is it my spirit? So I think people
So we can see that. So everything he says, anytime he speaks to you, check the right place that he's talking to. Now, when you check the right place he's talking to, you can then take it from there and go forward with it. So, because, again, that's not our focus today. We're just talking about this fatherhood of God, establishing the paternity of the Lord. Now, of your life. Now, if you look at this, 1 Corinthians 6, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, and get another insight into this thing we're talking about today. God is the father of your spirit. You are one spirit with the Lord. The DNA of your spirit is exactly like God. I want to encourage you as I'm talking now. Imagine, think about this. If you've been a Christian for so many years, think about all the things you know of the Lord. Think of all the things you know of God's person. Think of all the things you know of God's nature. Think of everything you've learned of the personality and the character of God. Now, let me tell you this. That's exactly what is in you now.
Your spirit.
In your exactly, not similar, exactly. That's in amazing, right? Exactly in your spirit. Exactly, it's there. It's not, it will be there if you pray long enough. It's not that it will be there if you fast long enough. It is there exactly as we speak today. And that's what we see in the scriptures.
I think just like we said, we should not be looking for God in wrong platforms. So some people know that those things are there. They know it is true because they know God's word is true. When they start looking into their body and they feel like it's not manifesting their body, it's not materializing their mind. And so they feel like those things were not true. But we know that the responsibility that it is in the spirit, deposited in your spirit, and the Lord works with your spirit only, and that is where he has made the claim on, and is the ownership, and say, this one, your spirit and mind, they are the same. And that is it. It did not say your body and mind are the same now. It's that the resurrection that we have is body. Mm-hmm. We have this body like his. Mm-hmm. So your body and mind is not yet like God, but your spirit is like, it's
exactly. Not similar, exactly. Oh my God, that now if you can sit on that today and have a think about it, exactly.
So it is your responsibility as in Romans, in the book of Romans, that you are going to bring your body and all your might to materialize what is in your spirit. That is where
you present your body as you are the one that presents your body, not God. You present your body as a living sacrifice. You are the one. He said, be ye transformed by what? The renewing of what? Your mind, your job. Romans 12, that's your job, not his job.
Because some people, they really shift that responsibility. They feel like the Lord must bring it to their body and bring it to their mind. And so if they don't see that happening in their mind, they feel like it's not true. They're looking at it in the wrong platform. But you know, the Lord has settled what it is. It is in the spirit that it's nothing you can do. Because you cannot improve on God's spirit. You know, it's just the same. You cannot improve on that. But the work of bringing out and make sure fleshing it out in your environment, make sure that it's materializing your body and your mind, bringing what is in your spirit, deposited and resident in your spirit, it is your responsibility. And you cannot say because you cannot find it or you have not done your job, or you're not doing your job as bringing it to your body and to your mind, and feel like it is not true. It is true today. We'll be able to show you that it is just you share the same spirit like the Lord's, and it's only the Lord's about your spirit. But the body and your mind, it is yours for you to make sure that you exact that thing that was in your spirit and bring it forth.
Now, like we said, if you stick with us on this knockout series, we are in this place for a long haul. We're still going to look specifically at what does a Christian have to do in a way to then take that which is exactly like God in your spirit, and then bring to bear upon your mind, upon your will, your emotion, upon your body. Now, let's say it doesn't really mean that God doesn't minister to people's body, as it were, in, I call it, spontaneous cases, because we're not excluding the possibility. There are times you are in a ministration or you're in a meeting, and the anointing of the Lord is at work in a meeting, and then somebody suddenly jumped out of the wheelchair, or somebody suddenly got healed of cancer, or somebody suddenly got delivered of captive or oppression. Well, it does happen in the body. It does happen. But let me tell you this. Those are things at God's prerogative. I mean, that's things that happen. That's not a system, a consistent system of God. And if you hang your life on such things, I would invite you to go and look for one of our administration when we talk about when is God visiting. We did an expose on this, on the two systems of God. How God operates. One system is on God's prerogative. I mean, it's a maybe. I mean, it's God's discretion. But it's a system that is consistent and sure. And that's the method of God. And that's what we're talking about really today. We're not discarding the other possibility. But we're saying it would be foolishness to live life on that one.
That's another episode on that thing. There was that be fruitful at that time. You know, you can walk now your season now.
Yeah.
So you really
please
don't
check
need
those
to
topics.
Not and, just those transmissions.
Yeah, so check those transmissions to get a full dose. But we're not focusing on that today. We're talking about this definite, sure aspect. The most sure word of prophecy. That's what we're talking about today. Now, can you read Romans 8, verse 9, please? Now, see what it says. Romans 8, 9.
But ye are not in the flesh.
Okay, you're not in the flesh.
But in the spirit.
Okay,
please. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you.
Okay, go on, please.
Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, is none of his.
Well, you couldn't say. Now, he's trying to tell you that you cannot claim to be born again if you don't have the exact nature, the exact spirit of the Father in your spirit, man. That's what he's trying to say. He's trying to tell you that nobody can say, well, thank you for what you're talking about today. I appreciate what you people are discussing. But even though I now am born again, I mean, I couldn't really guarantee the fact that I know that God is the Father of my spirit. But this one is saying, you cannot say that. It says, if you claim that God is not the Father of your spirit, you don't even belong to God. You don't even call yourself a Christian. It says, for you to have the audacity to call yourself a Christian, it means you have to admit the fact that God is the Father of your spirit. Even though you might not realize it, we're going to go there very soon. You have to admit that fact. If you admit the fact that is not the fact of your spirit, it means you have to admit also that you're not born again. That's what it says in Romans 8. Now, if you claim you belong to Christ, then you have the exact spirit of God in you. That's what it's simply saying there. So we've established that fact. Now, here comes the big question, which is the main thing I think some of you might be wondering about. That I don't feel this thing you're talking about. Are you trying to tell me that the exact nature of God is the same DNA that is in my spirit? It says, if anybody is joined to the Lord, he is one spirit with the Lord. Is that what you're saying today? I don't feel what you're talking about. I can't even experience that at the moment. I've tried. I'm trying. People have talked about these things before, but anytime they talk about it, I just think it's theory. Well, follow us quickly. As we go to James chapter 1, as we demystify that, establishing this paternity of God, the Father of spirits. James chapter 1, verse 23. Now see what it says. Now read that quickly.
It reads,
yes, please.
For if any be a hearer of the word,
okay,
and not a doer,
okay,
is like unto a man,
okay,
beholding his natural face in a glass.
Now let's before you go on, thank you for that reading. Now before we go on, I want to ask a simple question. Have you at any time seen your face? Have you seen your nose? I mean, I'm looking for someone who has seen their teeth before. Now, you might say, yes, you've seen your teeth. Are you sure you've seen your teeth before? Are you sure about that? I mean, if you think you've seen your teeth, let me make you think about this again. Maybe what you saw was a reflection of your teeth in the mirror. What you did was you looked at the mirror and you saw your teeth. I don't think anyone can practically open their mouth and say, as I'm opening my mouth, I'm looking at my teeth now. It's practically impossible. Now, well, but how did you know you have a teeth? How can you be sure you have a teeth even though you've not seen it before? I know what you did. You looked for a mirror and you trusted and believed that what the mirror told you is your teeth. So what you saw was not your teeth. You only saw the reflection or the image of your teeth. And then even though you saw the image of your teeth, you believe what you saw. So when I asked you, have you seen your teeth? You said yes. But actually, what you saw was not your teeth. You saw the image of your teeth. And you trusted the image, that the image was a true reflection of your teeth. Hey, the Bible is simply saying to you and I that when God talks to you, the Father of your spirit, nobody, you can't just look at your feelings to check what the state of your spirit is. You cannot look at how you're feeling in your body to understand the state of your spirit. He said you cannot do that. But he says you can be too sure of how your spirit looks like, just like you were sure of how your teeth looks like. He said you can be very sure. He said how? He says check the mirror. Look at the mirror. And then when you look at the mirror, as bold as you were to tell me that you saw your teeth and you trusted that was your teeth, he said you can be too bold as well to say, I saw my spirit and that is my spirit as well. So here was the Apostle James inviting the believer to take a look. This spirit that the Father talks to, the Father of spirit, we can't feel the spirit. But it says, here, the mirror will tell you. And when the mirror tells you, it says, please, trust what the mirror is saying. Just like you trusted the teeth that you saw in the mirror.
And the mirror is the word of God.
Yeah. And it says the mirror.
It's the word of God.
That's why the mirror tells you that the fruit of the spirit is gentleness. So you can say, okay, God, at the moment, I don't feel gentle.
I'm gentle.
But because the mirror said, that's how my spirit looks like. It says the fruit of your spirit.
Not the fruit of your body.
No, it isn't the fruit of your mind or your body.
The fruit of your intellect.
It says, okay, Father, even though I don't see my spirit, but the mirror, which is the word, tells me that my spirit is what? Gentle. It tells me that my spirit has long suffering. It tells me that my spirit has peace.
Joy.
It has joy or love. Okay, well, if that's what it says, I trust that's what my spirit looks like exactly. And it says, this is how you can establish a paternity. That's why you can boldly say, I've got the exact nature of God. You can't do that by looking at your feelings. You got to check out the mirror. Just like you cannot get your teeth by trying to look at your teeth, you have to get a mirror to tell you where it is. He said, that's what the word of God does to your spirit. It reveals you to you. And that's what
he said. And the good thing about checking the mirror and getting the, maybe in the natural, and when you get that reflection, you walk in that confidence as somebody that has teeth.
Yeah.
So when you check the mirror of God's word, that he said you have love in you. You just like, you know, oh. You will not go out. You can, like somebody who checked the mirror to see that he has teeth, then he goes in the confidence that when he says food,
and the teeth is white or something. And
yes, it can eat food because they say, yes, I have my incisors, I have my molars there, and go out with that confidence. You know, he can talk because you know that there's a teeth there. So when you know, you check the mirror of God's word and find that you have love inside of you.
Not that you are trying to have love.
Not that you want to make and then some courses, some 12 steps to love for you to achieve God's love. You know, to have God's love in you, you already know that you have that. So when you go out with that confidence to express it, what is inside of you, because you know that is what you're saying, bringing down your body into representing it. So you have the confidence to walk it out, to flesh it out, what is inside of you, what you have the potential, what is resident.
You know it's there.
It's there. So you'll be able to do it and feel like, yes, just like you can use your teeth and say you can munch because you saw that there's a teeth inside. That confidence that you know you can walk in these things because you know it is resident in your spirit.
Now, thank you for that insight. It would mean that even when you have an attack in any angle, any side, and something comes at you and it says, well, you're going to fail. You have an imagination or somebody said something, somebody put a curse on your life, or somebody, you had a dream and then it's an opposing dream to what you're expecting. It doesn't matter what it is. You can just open the scriptures.
It says,
well,
the mirror,
and the mirror says to me that I'm victorious in Christ Jesus. That's my state. The mirror tells me that I'm more than conquerors through him that loved me. Whatever it is. I mean, you can easily just look at the mirror. I mean, the reason that we have problem today in our lives is because for so many Christians, we don't check out the mirror. All we try to do is when God speaks, when the Father of Spirit speaks, He speaks to our spirit, and we are trying to check our feelings to find out what He said. And it never works. It's all going to be failure and confusion. You must always look at the mirror. It tells you what your state is. Your mind cannot tell you. Your feelings cannot tell you. Your bank account cannot tell you. Your neighbor cannot tell you. Your spouse cannot tell you. Your children cannot tell you. Nobody can tell you. You need to go back to the mirror and see the state of your spirit. You will then see that you have exactly the same DNA as your father. That's why he says that the Father of Spirits. That's what he calls it. Not the Father of your mind, the Father of Spirits. So today, we have brought that to you today, that it's high time to establish your paternity. And listen, Jesus said to the disciples, if you're going to pray at all, let's start with our Father. And that's what we focus on today.
I feel like even beyond the establishment of the fatherhood and paternity, is like addressing a major issue in the Christendom and the kingdom, where about how do we, what it says who we are and how we actually feel, how do we work out the resolve of your deeds, be holy, and people say, working out your salvation, are we going to end your salvation, or work it out? So, you know, I think by this episode today, even apart from establishing the fatherhood and paternity, giving us the confidence to approach God in place of prayer, seeing it as a consistent pattern when you're making requests, like the Lord's Prayer will say, our Father, you need to have that, you need to establish that somebody has a responsibility for you. You need to come to somebody that is responsible for you first, and then when you come with confidence in that way, because you know that the Father is made to give this. And Jesus used it in the other parable. He was telling them, if you come to your Father, a son will come. A son will come expecting bread. And so the Father is expected in the natural to give bread. So you know that there's a relationship, there's a working contract, understanding that somebody has requests and the Father to grant it. So you know that prayer is about making requests. It's one of the things, making requests unto God. So you need to really establish who is responsible here. And so you can't start your prayer life without knowing who is actually responsible. So who are we talking here? Do you have a case here? Because you can't go to any court of law and hold a man on the street and say, pay me this, get me the food. You just have to establish the DNA, the paternity. Yes, because based on this result, yes, it is your responsibility for this. So you need to know, you cannot be living your life under, maybe when it comes, maybe somebody on somebody else's benevolence, or living on the false system of God. Well, if it pleases the Lord, you can drop something and everything. You can work on this pure system.
Well, if I scream at him long enough, it would actually show up.
Work on it, understanding that he's your Father, you understood that he's responsible. for you to get this thing done, and so that you can live, just like Apostle Paul encourages us. Will you not subject yourself to this understanding? Would you not subject yourself to this understanding this morning to understand the revelation? Would you just get off your eye also saying, I already know before, I know how to find my way, or I'm already, I have the reputation for knowing how to pray and get this thing done. I have my formulas and how it works. Would you not subject yourself to this kind of revelation, like Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 today, and live? And start living today. Maybe you are just pining away. Maybe you are just existing or dying. So just get your life out. You might feel like you are living now, but you have not lived. Because Apostle Paul said, it is based on this understanding that you are living.
Subject to the Father, Spirit, and live.
Live. So live today. So we are encouraging you with this exposition this morning, that for you to live. Start living today. Amen. Maybe you are just managing and just going by and by. You need to live, and you can only live on this understanding. You can live on the understanding of the established relationship that you have with the Father. With you, you have the, what is in the Father is encoded Father in your spirit. You need to start living. So start. You don't live like somebody that you have a half life. You have like a three quarter of the what is in the Father. You say you have the full. It's of the Lord. You have the same spirit.
One spirit with the Lord.
Exactly the
same.
And so if you cannot know that, so some people who are not living on that revelation, that means they are living half life. They are living three-quarter life because they don't really know they have the same spirit. So we are sending you forth today and beyond for you to live in that confidence that you have one spirit with him. Express this thing. You have all of this inside of you, resident in you. Exactly what is in the Father is in you.
Exactly.
So, and today we release you to live. Because that is the thing. You have to live based on this result.
Amen.
The paternity that you have the Lord.
Amen.
And you have the same. Irrespective of what what is saying around. You remember I started this telling you that the prevailing word is going forth this morning.
Amen.
And that is prevails over every confusion. And it's not going to pander to sentiment or woman's opinions about you. It's not going to pander to what is around, the environmental situations around you. Because this word is in your spirit. Who you are is in your spirit.
Amen.
It is your spirit that will manifest. It will dominate. It will prevail.
Amen.
Prevail over your mind. It will prevail and override all your intellect. It will override what your analysis. It will override whatsoever your hormones and to work out and flesh out in your body. And you are going to bring it. It is your responsibility to bring it as it is in the spirit, because you have the confidence looking at the mirror of God's word. You know, it is there. And you are going to flesh it out. I believe we've spoken to people today, and I know that they are going out with that confidence. Do you have the closing remark for
that's it. So, you want to join us in our next transmission as we begin to look into this Lord's Prayer. So we've just laid a foundation. We've not even kick-started it fully. So please stick with us as we go further in the next set of transmissions.
Yes, I want to thank everybody that has joined us, who shared, and we will apologize for this, the break in the other episodes on the other one of the platform. So we want to appreciate Anuola for all the comments, for people that have shared and people that have joined. And so many people that will leave the world. Live the truth of this world. That is, you have our commendation already, because you know that you are going to live the world.
Amen.
You are going to show it forth. You are going to, in your neighborhood, you are going to spread it across.
Amen.
And so we encourage you to hit us back with any comment, any questions, any suggestions, anything that needs clarification, so we can keep the discussion and conversation open and continuous. So keep sharing this and go to our Exposé 247 page. We told you of some videos, some expositions that is related to this topic, so you can have a proper understanding of what we share today, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing again and again. You need to know the again and again word.
Amen.
And so throughout to next week, 7 p.m. UK time, we are going to continue
on
Saturday exposition. And so throughout the week, please just be on the page, like, share, and follow, because we'll be trusting the Lord to be pushing out some messages for your edification.
Amen.
So we'll see you next Saturday, 7 p.m. UK time, or any other time that you come to the page. We want to say, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord,
so walk in him. God bless you. Bye.
Bye.